Everybody, it's great to see you this morning. My daughter ate my microphone while we were singing the previous song, so I'm glad that it's still working. So you'll forgive me if it takes me a moment to get myself sorted. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, thank you that as we've heard, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Word from all eternity, became man so that we could know you. We want to thank you and praise you that you are a speaking God and that you continue to speak through us through your living Word, the Bible. Please would you just help us to hear your voice this morning and to respond to it with faith and with obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you're enjoying Christmas and enjoying celebrating Christmas. I guess most of us spend Christmas Day celebrating in line with all sorts of different traditions. There are many traditions that we share in common. Most of them were probably invented by Charles Dickens, but I would imagine that most of us today are going to be eating a turkey. Most of us will be opening presents. Many of us have sent Christmas cards to one another, all sorts of traditions that we share in common. But I'd guess also that we all have some traditions that are unique to us and to our families. I don't know whether your family tradition is that you open the presents at 3 o'clock in the morning, or whether your family tradition is that you open them at tea time after you've eaten your lunch and spent the day together. All of our traditions will vary. And I guess for many of us, we will be wanting to pass on our traditions to our children so that they will learn to celebrate Christmas in the way that we do. There was a survey that was conducted for UK TV by Brian Turner, the TV chef, earlier this month, which discovered that lots of classic Christmas traditions are dying out. So it discovered that only 3% of people are going to put coins in their Christmas pudding. Only 29% of people are going to set their Christmas pudding on fire with brandy. According to this survey, 33% of people still have last year's Christmas cake, let alone eating this year's Christmas cake. And 6% of people say they're going to prefer something different. And do you know what the most popular Christmas tradition is going to be this year? It's going to be a champagne breakfast. According to this survey, 65% of people are going to be having a champagne breakfast to celebrate Christmas. Now, I don't know how many of you have already done that, but maybe some. There was another survey that said there are going to be more people today shopping online as the online sales start than there are going to be going to church. More people will be doing that than coming to church. Well, for us as Christians, the most important tradition for Christmas is, of course, the teaching about the birth of Jesus. The very earliest Christians didn't celebrate Christmas at all. It wasn't a festival for them. But they saw the Christian message about Jesus as a tradition. They saw it as a true tradition that was to be passed on from generation to generation. That's why they wrote it down in the Bible, so that it could be passed on accurately to us. And I want to just share with you one verse from the New Testament that summarizes the Christian tradition, the message about Jesus and his birth. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul wrote these words to Timothy. He said, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." In other words, he's saying this is the most important tradition that you should receive, that you should remember, and that you should pass on. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the very worst. And I think that one little pithy saying, that summary of the tradition of the Christian faith, summarizes the significance of Christmas for us as Christians. It captures the very essence of the story of the birth of Jesus. Well, I just want to suggest two things that we can learn from that verse as we reflect on the Christmas story in the light of it. And the first of those is I want to suggest that as Christians, we have good news to celebrate. We've got good news to celebrate. The safe arrival of a baby is almost always good news and something to celebrate. This time last year, my wife and I, or particularly my wife, was expecting twins. They were born on the 2nd of January, and it was great news for us that they arrived safely. And the birth of Jesus, the safe arrival of this little baby Jesus, is, of course, a cause for joyful celebration. And we find in the Christmas story that's a note that runs all the way through it. Mary, when the angel came and told her she was going to have a baby and who this baby was going to be, celebrated. Zechariah and Elizabeth, when they heard that Mary was having a baby, they celebrated. When Jesus was born, the angels appeared in the sky and they praised God and they celebrated. The shepherds who saw the baby went home praising God, celebrating what they'd seen. The wise men from the east came to worship and to celebrate the birth of the king. Simeon and Anna in the temple, when they met the baby Jesus and realized who he was, they celebrated and praised God. Of course, it's not just because of the birth of a baby, but it's because of what this baby was born to do. You see, in this baby, God was keeping his promise to his people to send them a saviour who would rescue them. Promises that he had made hundreds, even thousands of years beforehand. That's what Paul reminds us of in that verse from Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus was born to be a saviour. Actually, that's a note that runs through the Christmas story. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, the news, the message they had for them was, today a saviour has been born in the town of David. When the angel came to Joseph to tell him that Mary hadn't been having an affair with somebody else, but it was actually God's son that she was carrying, the angel said to Joseph, you shall name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Good news to celebrate because a saviour has been born. Jesus was born to save God's people from God's judgment because they have rejected him. At the time of Jesus' birth, that judgment was seen particularly in the fact that they were under the oppressive rule of the Romans. The Old Testament story said that God's people were to live for him and serve him and be loyal to him. But because they weren't, God subjected them to the rule of their enemies. They were under the harsh rule of the Romans. And they were expecting someone to come and to rescue them and to set them free. And of course, that's a picture of the way that we are oppressed by our enemies. Not necessarily by human forces, but by spiritual forces. We as human beings are oppressed by sin. Each and every one of us, even if we wanted to live for God, even if we wanted to live good lives, we find that we just can't. There's something about us that just prevents us from living even in the way that we would want to. We're subject to some kind of force or power that controls us. We're subject to guilt and to shame because we know we don't live the way we should do. And we're subject to the fear of death because we know deep down that one day we will stand before God and be accountable to him. But Christmas is great news because God sent Jesus into the world to save us, to set us free, and to bring us into his glorious kingdom. You see, what this verse reminds us is that Christmas is ultimately for everyone. Paul says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that means to say that he came into the world for every single member of the human race. Because every single one of us is a sinner. We are all sinners who fall short of what God asks from us. Actually, we won't find Christmas good news unless we're first able to recognize the truth that we are all sinners and that we need a saviour. But when we recognize that, Christmas will be the best possible news for us. And Paul says, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how far you've fallen short, Jesus has come for you. He says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul was a man who rejected Jesus. He was a man who insulted Jesus. He was a man who murdered Jesus' disciples. And yet he was forgiven. And what Paul wanted these early Christians to realize was that if he could be forgiven, so could anybody. There is nobody who cannot be forgiven by Jesus the Saviour. So I want to ask, are you celebrating Christmas this year? I guess for many of us, Christmas Day is a day in which we enjoy a wonderful family time together. We enjoy being with our friends, being with our family, sharing that wonderful warmth and love that we have. I guess if we're celebrating Christmas in that way, perhaps it's all too easy for us to ignore Jesus in the midst of it. To actually enjoy a really good time with our family, opening the presents, but yet actually not to give Jesus a thought. Are you going to be celebrating today the fact that Jesus came into the world to save sinners? Or maybe for you, Christmas is actually a really hard time. Maybe you're somebody who's lonely. Maybe you've got a very difficult family. Maybe you don't have a family that you're going to be able to spend today with. Maybe it's going to be a tough and a stressful time for you, and you're wondering, how can I celebrate? Well, actually, if you focus and reflect on the fact that Christ came into the world to save sinners, there's still something to celebrate, even if your family life and the day is a difficult day. Actually, for those of us who are Christians, we have even more reason to celebrate than those at that first Christmas, because we know that not only has the Saviour been born, but he has saved. Paul was writing 50 or 60 years after the birth of Jesus, and Paul knew that Jesus had gone to the cross, he died, he'd taken the judgment that God deserves, that we deserve from God, and he had risen again. Paul knew that the penalty had been paid, that death had been defeated. And Paul knew that he personally had been saved. If we're Christians, how much more reason do we have to celebrate than even those first people who heard of the birth of Jesus? Or maybe you're somebody who's here with us today who's perhaps just at church because it's a Christmas tradition. Maybe that is your tradition. You just come to church once in a year. Or maybe you're here because you want to find out a little bit more about what Christians believe and what Christmas traditions are. Well, can I say that this verse reminds you that Jesus has come for you. Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. I think one of the saddest stories that I read in the course of this year was the story of a man called David Leggett. No relation to our own Annie, but David Leggett, he was a 55-year-old bachelor, and he got trapped in the lavatory at his bowls club. He was kind of playing there on a sort of a cold autumn night. He went to the loo, and the door jammed behind him, and nobody realised that he was there. And he was stuck in the loo for 4 days. There was no heating, and the only way he survived was by drinking water from the tap, and every now and again he'd put his feet in the hot water in order to warm up. He was finally discovered 4 days later when a man called Bob Ewing, who's the club secretary, finally came and heard his cries for help and broke in with a screwdriver. But this is what Bob Ewing said, and it struck me as being absolutely tragic. He said nobody had been looking for David. A wife may have wondered where he was, but he was not married. I rather hope that a wife would have wondered where he was after 4 days. But you see, the tragedy of the story is that nobody was looking for David because he was alone. Well, the great news of Christmas is that God is looking for you. The Bible says we are all lost, but God is looking for us. That's the very reason why he sent Jesus into the world. So, we have good news to celebrate. I want to say, secondly, we have good news to share. As Christians, we're not to keep this news to ourselves. Christmas is not really just for Christians. As Paul said in that verse, Christ came into the world. He came to those who weren't believers, to those who had rejected God. The message is for everyone. And actually, again, that theme runs through the story of the birth. Mary shared the news that she was going to have a baby with her cousin Elizabeth. The angels announced the news to the shepherds. The wise men told King Herod that the king had been born. Simeon and Anna announced the king had been born to the whole temple. It wasn't just a private matter. It was something to be publicly declared, the news to be passed on. And in the letter to Timothy from which we read, Paul was writing to Timothy because of a great danger that the church was going to be distracted from this key truth. there was a great danger that it was going to become inward-looking. There were teachers who were obsessed with the Jewish law and with genealogies, and they'd lost their focus on sharing with others the good news that Jesus had come into the world to save. And so Paul was writing to them to remind them of this key truth, so that they would pray for people and so that they would share the good news with them. And I want to say that sharing the good news of Christmas, that Christ has come into the world to save sinners, should flow from our joyful celebration. We're genuinely celebrating the fact that Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. We will want to share that with others. So if you're a Christian this Christmas, don't lose sight of your responsibility to share the good news. It's one of the lessons we should learn from the Christmas story. It might mean that we share the good news with our Muslim neighbour. It might mean we share the good news with our work colleagues. It might mean we share the good news with the mums and dads of children at school with our children. I guess it's easy at this time of year, if you're a Christian and you've invited your friends to things like our carol services, to maybe think that the job of sharing the good news is done. To think that maybe I don't have to think about that for another year. But Christmas, I think, reminds us that we have an ongoing responsibility as we celebrate the fact that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to share that good news with others. And just as Jesus came into the world to be with us, so we are called to go into the world and be with those who need to hear that good news. As Christians, we're not called to withdraw from the world, but to go to the world. Jesus became incarnate, and in a sense, we need to incarnate his message as we go to those who are lost and who are in need of hearing of Christ's salvation. So here we are on Christmas Day, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy celebrating whatever traditions you follow in your family. But I wonder if you'd really want to take the song by Wizard seriously. Do you seriously wish that it was Christmas every day, and that you sort of had to go through all of these traditions and this celebration every day? I wonder if you've ever heard of a man called Andy Park. He's an electrician who lives in Wiltshire, and he's come to be known as Mr. Christmas. And the reason for that is because every single day he celebrates Christmas, and he's done it since 1993. Every day he has a turkey dinner with sprouts and all the trimmings. Every day he watches a video of the Queen's speech while drinking a glass of sherry, and he's done it since 1993. It's been estimated that since then he's eaten 120,000 sprouts, 4,500 turkeys, 90,000 mince pies, and 30,000 roast potatoes. And it's cost him £250,000 to celebrate Christmas every single day. I guess for most of us, that would be just horrendous. Most of you will not be wanting to eat turkey tomorrow, let alone for the next 365 days. But there is a sense in which, as Christians, we do need to celebrate the Christmas tradition, the real Christmas tradition, every single day. I think it's very easy for us to think as Christians that somehow Christmas should be an extra special spiritual experience. Do you feel that? That somehow at this time of year you should be feeling extra specially spiritual. I don't think that's really the case. I think that we need to remember that the truth that we celebrate at Christmas is a truth that should be real to us every single day. You see, the Christmas tradition, the real tradition, that Christ came into the world to save sinners is a truth to cause us to celebrate every single day. As we remember what Christmas is all about, we should be reminded that we have good news to celebrate, not just today, but every day. And we have good news to share, not just today, but every day. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for the good news of Christmas. We want to thank you that you sent your Son, the precious Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners. We confess before you that we are sinners, that we fail to live the way that you want, that we fail to give you the glory that you deserve, and that by ourselves we deserve your judgment. but yet we thank you and praise you that you sent Jesus so that we could be saved. Thank you that he died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. We ask and pray that we would really celebrate that as we remember Christmas and what it means today. And we pray that we would be willing to share that good news with others. Thank you that Jesus came for the world, came for all people. He came for those who do not believe in him, for those who reject him. Please would you make us willing to share that good news. And we pray that our willingness to do that might flow out of our own joy and celebration. And we ask and pray that this wouldn't be something that we just do today, but that each and every day you would help us to remember that Jesus has come to save sinners, to save us. And we ask this in his name. Amen.